This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I don't know, I'm just trying to dissect a little bit of what he said. Not a ton of news.
You know
news.
What he said?
Jack Conklin day to day.
Boy, is Detroit good.
Yeah, he did spend a lot of time in Detroit. They are good, Jeff. I mean, we watched that
really
game
good.
The other night.
They're fun. I like them because they play a different style of football. You know, I just like watching them play.
The thing that stuck with me for Monday night's game, too, is just the defense. Man, they were tough when they needed to be tough, made big plays down the stretch. We all know how good Baltimore is. The hard part about the NFL is you try to juggle, right? You're like, oh, you know, we probably should have beat the Bengals. Man, we just beat, you know, some people argue, let's tell you the Packers are the best team in the NFL. And then if they're not the best team in the NFL, then if you didn't have all those mistakes against the Ravens, you were kind of, you could have been in the game, but you weren't. And we're sitting here trying to juggle, and especially early on in the season, you try to figure out where your team really is, don't you? And I think our defense is like, I want to lean into the fact that we have one of the best defenses in the NFL. The numbers tell you that we do, but you're also banking that against teams that you played against. It's kind of confusing.
Can you bank on that yet?
On our defense, yeah, I think you can.
Are we
really
there?
Do. I banked on them after the first week. When they shut down Cincinnati's offense and those wide receivers, and then to come back again and eliminate the running game against Baltimore, they've done things that teams are going to struggle with all season long.
Three really nice efforts against three really nice offenses. That to me is the thing, because you keep thinking, all right, well, that was okay, Cincinnati. Boy, you did a great job against Joe Burrow. You're really familiar with him. You know, you're really familiar with Cincinnati. You got it, you know. And then Baltimore. Well, you've played Baltimore well, but you did shut down Derrick Henry. And I kept thinking, okay, this Green Bay game, that'll be a little different test. You know, not a divisional opponent, not somebody you're familiar with. How's this go? If they can slow down Detroit, Andy, I think that's the culmination of, yep, that defense is back. I think that defense is back. As it is right now, it's still like the Guardians pitching. It's going to give you a chance in every game. Every game.
There's another thought I had going into this week about how tough it is to play after Monday Night Football and have to bounce back. And that was a huge spotlight game.
Yeah, it was big.
Last week against the Ravens.
It was big.
And I wonder how much that's going to take. It's take a little bit of a toll. The fact that the Lions are back home again, I think, buffers that. Maybe if they had gone on the road and had to come back, it might, you know, squeeze their timeline a little bit more. I don't know that it's as devastating when you're at home the week after playing Monday Night Football.
I think that's probably true. But that's usually the way that works out. So, Andy, they're going to be ready. They're going to be good. We know they're going to be good. And can the Browns win it? Yeah. Why? Because they have a really good defense. They have a really good defense. What you're going to have is your offense is going to have to start giving you something, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Something. And the offense really hasn't given you much of anything yet.
I'm just kind of looking at some of the stats on that. After playing Monday Night Football, are we 3 weeks in? So, and we had multiple games, that's why. I was trying to do the math on this too. Teams playing their previous game on Monday night are 2-4-0 straight up, and 1-5-0 against the spread. If you want to look at it that way, I think it's difficult for teams to have to flip it around and then have to come right back and play. And so, well, I mean, you're going to have to play on Sunday anyway, but I think the Thursday night game has more of an effect on teams that are playing than it would be, you know, playing Monday to Sunday. But I don't know. Maybe that's advantage Browns. I don't know. I you can't dig too deep into it, but it does seem like things are difficult. It becomes difficult for a team that plays whether they win or lose after playing on Monday night. I hope that's advantage Browns. I'm also concerned about this offensive line, Jeff. I don't know how you aren't.
You have to be.
Yeah.
We'll see about Jack Conklin.
So Jack is day-to-day in practice. Isn't that what he said? That was the very first thing he said in the press conference, that he's day-to-day. And so now that leaves you with Jack Conklin, maybe, and Cornelius Lucas, maybe, as your tackles. Well, not maybe. He is. I don't know how they don't start him, right? He's got to start.
I don't think you have any choice. He's your guy.
And if Jack can't play, now you're looking at KT Leviston. And then you only have three backups. They're going to have to add somebody to the offensive line or elevate somebody off the practice squad.
They did today. They brought in Mumford.
Oh, okay. All right. I missed that. I didn't
Ohio State Buckeye.
Yeah. So you've got Tevin Jenkins, then Luke Whipler, and Zach Zinter. And Zach hasn't played. Like, what's going on there?
Well, he's not going to play anyway.
It's been super quiet on some of those things. He's just always
as long as Teller and Betonio are healthy, they're going to be on the field.
But it leaves you so that signing Mumford back then, that gives you five guys to back up on the defensive line. I don't. I think that's like if you ask yourself, Jeff, what's the weakest part of this team right now? What is it? I saw a lot of open wide receivers last week that weren't getting the ball. And whether that's Joe's fault, whether that's the offensive line's fault,
it's
whatever.
It's some combination of quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line. That's the weakest part of this team.
Could you imagine if they come back and win this week?
Yes, I can imagine. I have a good imagination, Andy. It's very vivid.
I mean, think about this. Green Bay dominated the AFC last year in all the games they played. They were 5-0. There were only three teams that were 5-0 against the AFC from the NFC last year. So they hadn't lost a game. And it had been ages since the Packers. I think the Packers had a four-game winning streak historically against Browns. I know those don't really mean a whole lot, but sometimes it gets into your psyche a little bit. And, you know, and to look at to look and think that maybe if they can get a win against Detroit, I don't know if that changes people's minds or – you know, it's always like, oh, I told you so. How many times do you hear that? I told you so. Todd is in Akron. Hi, Todd.
Thank you for taking the call. I'm listening to the conversation, but I'm already sold on Kevin Stefanski.
Hang on one second. Hey, are you on speakerphone? Because you sound super muffled.
Okay, now I'm not on speakerphone.
Way better.
I'm sold on Kevin Stefanski. I believe he's doing a good job, but for him to miss these open receivers like he's been doing, and then you got the two-headed monster in Detroit. Like, I love what the defense is doing, but Detroit is a different animal.
Yeah.
I expect that team to be in the Super Bowl this year. I got Detroit to be in the Super Bowl this year. And if Browns beat them, it's a statement if they beat them.
So I think if, you know, we were just talking with somebody else this morning, too, that if they can get to 20 points, I think they'll have a shot in every game. Every game. The problem is, I mean, how many games are you going to win by scoring 13 points? And you're right. The Lions are a two-headed monster. But there are people that think the Packers are going to the Super Bowl, too, or the Packers were going to the Super Bowl before last week. Hell, they were talking about being undefeated last week.
You're right. I love what I saw with that defense, but, you know, it's still like the offense. Those wide-open receivers, my God. How can you miss that guy wide open like that? I mean, that's what I mean.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
They got to get those things right if we expect to get in the playoffs this year.
Thank you. Appreciate it. How is that happening? We sat up in the stands, and there were a couple times, and Isaiah Bond, I know, got a little frustrated last week, despite the fact that he's a rookie and getting a little irritated with his quarterback for not being able to find him on plays. I just don't know if the pocket's collapsing too fast or the plays aren't developing the way they want to. You never really know what route the wide receiver is supposed to be. I mean, we don't. I don't. I, unless somebody's got some playbook in front of them where they know exactly where they're going. I do think it takes 11 to make a mistake. And I think Joe admitted it at the end of the game that there were a couple times that he should have had options to be able to throw to wide open guys and missed. And, you know, they got separation. That's the problem. If he can't find them when they get separation, then that's an issue. I understand when wide receivers don't have separation. I totally get it, and that's when quarterbacks get in trouble, and then you're praying that you ran the ball or you try to find the outlet pass, maybe from a running back that's swinging over into the flat. But if he can't find those guys when they have separation, it's kind of hard to get mad at the wide receiver.
That sounds like a blanket statement.
There were plenty of plays, and I know they're like – and sometimes I think it's easier to see when you're at the stadium than when you're watching on TV. But there were plenty of players. And then again, I'm watching from the press box. Yeah, I don't have Joe's vantage point of what he sees and what's in his way to see what's open and what's not open. Or if Joe got locked in on a receiver that he wanted to throw it to and tried to. But I don't think Joe's that guy. I don't think Joe locks in completely on guys.
I think the most fair way and probably the most accurate way to describe it, Andy, is what we said earlier. Which is, there are obviously some issues at quarterback. There are some issues at wide receiver, and the offensive line not quite there. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Joe's missing all these receivers downfield. I've seen the receivers downfield. I've also seen the receivers not hanging on to footballs and the receivers
that's
not making
true too.
Plays.
Yeah, I give you that.
So the receivers aren't making plays. Neither's Joe. So that means your passing game really isn't making plays. Does an enhanced running game set up more play action and make that better? Yeah, it probably would. So maybe they're on the way to doing that. You know, Quinshon Judkins looks good.
Yeah, he does.
You know, so maybe as teams try to focus on him a little bit more, maybe it sets up some play action. Maybe it takes a little focus off the passing game. Maybe that'll loosen some things up.
Oh, you know the tone. You know the marching band. And you know the man we're about to talk to. He is the pride in Northeast Ohio. You can see him on all kinds of national outlets. And make sure you watch him on NFL Network and all of his John Boy Media ventures. He is Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
Christopher.
Hello, gentlemen. And before I forget, yes, Austin Hedges is our latest guest on Dugout Discussions. Now, we had to tape it because of a scheduling issue right before the Guardians went on this ridiculous run. They were probably, I'm going to say, it was before the Detroit series last week, so I know that. It doesn't fully encompass what they're going through right now, but it's got enough good Guardians talk in there where you're going to want to listen. It's on our JM Baseball YouTube channel or wherever you download. The show is Dugout Discussions.
Five games to go. Are they going to the playoffs?
I wish I was on tomorrow. If they win tonight. Now, what did I tell you last week when we – I think the last question you asked was, can they catch Seattle?
Yeah, no, you were right.
I told you?
You were 100% right, yeah.
And
you said, worry about Houston,
Seattle,
didn't you? Yeah.
It's Houston. I said, it's Houston, and that's exactly where we are because – I don't believe Houston has won since. They got swept by Seattle in Texas over the weekend, so they basically lost the division right there. And then last night, for those of you that didn't stay up late, our little plucky Athletics, we can't call them the Sacramento A's, but that's where they play.
Tell them what we call them.
Los Oclamento.
I love that. Good. Go with that.
You can go with it, too.
And you can use it.
Yeah.
I like it. The A's came up mighty and so helped us out. Remember, we own the tiebreaker over the Astros, but we have bigger fish to fry in our home near Lake Erie, namely go win that frickin' division. And tonight is enormous. If we're able to get to Flaherty at all and Bibee's able to keep his emotions in check, and that's the number one thing I worry with him a little bit, is if we win this one, God almighty, we're going to be in a great spot because the Tigers go to Fenway this weekend.
The stunning thing, Chris, you know, Andy and I have kicked this around. Okay, one team can get hot, you know, and win 11 of 12, like our team has. And another team could go in the tank and lose 10 of 11, like the Tigers have. But what are the odds in September of both of those things happening? It's astronomical.
Yeah. I'm shocked.
Me too.
Shocked in part because of go look at the OPS, and for people that are kind of old schoolish baseball fans, and you sit there and say, well, what does that matter compared to batting average? Well, the batting average ain't good either. Outside of J-Ram, Manzardo, and Kwan, nobody in last night's starting lineup, so the biggest game of the year against the best pitcher in the sport, had higher than a 640 OPS. And that is jarring. League average is right around 700, just to let you know. And we had a handful of guys who are even below 600 that were in the starting lineup. It just doesn't make sense in how they've gotten it done. We have gotten to know the starting pitchers over this year, but most even good baseball fans cannot tell you a thing about a Parker Messick, a Joey Cantillo, guys like that who have come in.
Slade Ciccone.
Well, Slade, that's another one, obviously. They just know that we traded Josh Naylor. Most people couldn't name who we traded him for.
Mm-hmm.
It really is incredible. Carl Willis is a witch in the best way possible. And I'm so proud of these guys because I didn't predict it. I thought Detroit was going to win the division by double digits. And for most of the year, it certainly felt that way.
Yeah.
It really, 29 days ago, we were 12 and a half back. 29. It's incredible. Let's go finish the job.
Chris, they were under 500 this month.
Yep. Yep.
That's unbelievable.
All right. So let me ask you this because you're sitting in California and you might get a better feel for this. I was reading ESPN this morning. First of all, I was super upset about a story they had yesterday that said that the Guardians were the 14th best rotation heading into the playoffs if they made it, which is another story for another day. My bigger question for you is, because you're sitting in California, is the story the Guardians uprising, or is it the default or the deflation of the Tigers, the falling apart?
I think most of the time when there's a situation like this, we tend to focus on the negative.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to use the bigger lens out here. I do think that most people are giving the Guardians credit. I really do. And the whole guards ball thing was on steroids last night. The sixth inning, guys, we're all around the same age. I can't ever remember an inning like that where you have back-to-back bunts, a guy who thought he was going to replace Frank Ragnow as the Lions starting center, your best player fighting off pitches and then getting a swinging bunt, a guy squaring around a bunt and taking high 90s to the face.
Yeah.
A guy who never loses his composure on the mound, then balking and throwing a wild pitch. It just doesn't make sense what transpired. There was one ball that left the infield, and it was snapped between somebody's legs. That is not guards baseball. They rewrote whatever the hell that was last night because I had never seen it before. And I'm still shaking my head today.
Chris, I don't think there's anything for any of us to say except we've been enjoying this so much. And as you said, tonight's so critical. And we're just sitting here with five games to go and we all have our fingers crossed. I don't know what else that you can do.
There isn't. Here's what I would say.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enroll in grades K to 12 at chooseprimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle,
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
So I was up in New Jersey over the weekend. I was finishing some work at John Boy, and I travel with my buddy, the former Minnesota Twin, Trevor Plouffe, with whom I do baseball today every day.
Ding.
And we're sitting at the airport, and my oldest son, Josh, who lives back here, FaceTimes me. It's in between the doubleheader, sitting at the airport ready to fly home. And he's like, "Dad, can you believe it? We are right there, and Detroit lost again." I'm like, "Yeah, it's pretty amazing." He goes, "What is the matter with you? Why can't you enjoy it?"
Ah.
And he's like, "Yeah." And you go, "You are so afraid to enjoy the ride." And you know what? We can laugh.
Josh
is 100% right.
He's right.
Right. Yeah, he is right.
I brought this up to Jeff this morning. I said, you know, there are people out there right now that aren't looking at where their feet are, and they're going, "Well, it doesn't matter because, you know, once they get to the playoffs, they're going to get beat the first round anyway. They're not as good as the good teams." And I'm just like, shut up. Just shut up. I don't want to hear it.
I think we, as Clevelanders, we all have a little bit of that in us. My default line is that Cleveland sports fans are 90% scar tissue, and instead of waiting for the next Uber to pick us up, we're waiting for the next bus to come around the corner and run us over.
True.
We have to stop with that mentality. This is an unprecedented run. They are the first team in the history of divisional play to have trailed by this many games at some point in the season and then come back and grab the lead at some point. Do we want them to finish the job? Will it hurt if it goes the wrong direction? Absolutely. But I can't wait until 3:40 my time for first pitch today. I am that excited about it. I'm fired up. I'm ready. This is the playoffs. And it's incredible. And there's no way 3 weeks ago I thought this was even possible. So the playoffs started a week early for us, and let's roll.
It's been an absolute blast. With that said, let's talk a little football.
It's Detroit week. Or is it Michigan week? I can't
tell. Whatever it is, it's going well. Talk about improbable. You're down 10-0. You haven't looked good on offense all day. You have under 4 minutes to go, and you win a football game against a team that was talking about going undefeated. Oh, goodness. That worked, didn't it? What about this defense makes you think, and I thought this is the last big test against Detroit, but it's starting to look like the Guardians pitching staff, the starting staff, it's going to keep you in every game, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. This one's going to be really tough. Detroit, they dropped 52 last week on Chicago, and they just ran through a Baltimore team, which I know is having defensive issues except when they play us. They're really good, but so is our defense. And to me, the most amazing aspect of this is that they've done it with two really good corners and virtually nothing behind them. I know Miles Harden did some good things, but he also had a PI, you know, that could have set them up for a game-winning field goal. Like, we're really barren back there. The MJ Emerson injury was crushing. And I'm shocked that teams have not figured out a way to expose our lack of depth in that area. With that being said, this team is, like, I shudder when we have the ball. I look forward to when the other team has it, which is a weird way to go through rooting for your football team. But what did I tell you at the beginning of the year? Remember you asked me, who are you most looking forward to out of this rookie class? And I think a lot of people expected either Judkins when he would eventually sign, or to say Fannin, or to see one of the rookie quarterbacks. And I was like, Carson Schlesinger. And he is filthy. He is awesome. That sack that for some, I have no idea why Jordan Love didn't throw the ball away and took an unnecessary hit, but it was like the cleanest, meanest hit that we've seen in a while. We don't have a lot of linebackers in our recent history that hit like that, that can pursue like that, that can be explosive like that. We've been fortunate now enough in the last 5 years to have JOK when he was healthy to do that, and now Schlesinger.
You like the thought that they're catching them after Monday Night Football. If you kind of go back and look through the last 5 years, it's 50-50 on teams that have to play in the short week.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, dude, our first six games are brutal.
Yeah,
and we knew that going in.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I don't know. I don't really. That stuff doesn't add up for me.
So let me.
I think that Dan Campbell's going to have his team ready.
Yeah, I do too. What's your gut on Joe Flacco right now and where they're going with this thing? Because if they were 0-3, I was all for, you know, pulling the trigger. You know how hard it is to try to even think about making the playoffs at 0-3. But, you know, 1-2 changes things a little bit, and it changes the whole dynamic. What's your overall thought on Flacco and what they need to do down the road here?
Well, I think you're going to be seeing Dillon Gabriel up next, and I do think that it'll be soon. I really do. Barring a shocking performance by our offense over the next 3 weeks, I wouldn't be surprised if the next time we have a home game on American soil that somebody else might be there. And I just think that part of that is because of what they have to do. They might have to look at both guys to see what they've got. And if it's not even for a starter's role, it's to feel good about a backup role moving forward. Now, if the Browns are 3-3 after six games, I don't think that'll happen. But if they're 1-5 or 2-4 and the offense still hasn't gotten any better, then you have to say, well, you know, the younger guys might be able to give us a little different look, obviously, to use the mobility. Because go watch the rest of the games, guys. If it's 2nd and 4, a lot of quarterbacks can pick up an easy first down. I'm not blaming Joe. He's 40 years old, and it never was really a huge part of his game. But that part of whatever is in the playbook is taken out. And I think with Dillon Gabriel, and maybe even to some degree Shadur, even though it's not his forte, they could get you some easier first downs.
Chris Rose, thank you. Make sure you check out Dugout Discussions with Chris Rose on John Boy Media. Austin Hedges says Cal Raleigh is your 2025 AL MVP, plus much, much more on that. By the way, congratulations on 4.9 stars out of 5, my friend. It's impressive.
Oh, well, that's nice. I appreciate that. That's very nice. We also have a restaurant that's available if you'd like to eat there, too. I'm kidding. We don't have that.
Goodbye, Chris.
See you, bud.
Bye, guys.
See you, brother. Digging into all kinds of stories today, especially want to talk about the Guardians and what a great win that was and their race to see if they can win the AL Central. I can't believe those words are even coming out of my mouth, but their chase to win the AL Central. And it's just been a great story. It's been fun. We had Chris Rose on to talk about that just now. If you missed any of that, go to the Odyssey app, hit the radio rewind, or, of course, you can listen to it on the Baskin and Phelps podcast. Daryl Ryder is going to join us in the next hour, and we are standing by right now waiting for Joe Flacco to speak. Joe is scheduled to step up to the podium, and he'll talk about this week against the Lions. I'm sure he'll look back against last week, and I'm sure he's going to get some questions about open receivers and being a better quarterback and trying to do things to help this offense get moving a little bit more than it's been so far.
How can you be a better quarterback?
You are weird sometimes, man. I'm going to be straight honest with you.
He just said he's going to get questions about how to be a better quarterback.
He is.
He's 40.
Yes.
How can I be better? I can stand on my feet, not fall over.
I think it's interesting when people start questioning his mobility. Did anyone think that he was going to be the most mobile quarterback in the NFL? And when people rip him, man, they'd love to go right for that. That's their first thing. They're like, he's not a mobile quarterback. I don't even know. We've got two mobile quarterbacks sitting on the bench. I know we'd be winning better. Our offense would be. The bottom line is they've got to figure out a way to start scoring more points.
Thank you, Andy.
As one of the worst teams in the NFL, two seasons going now. On how futile the offense is. They just can't. Man, if they can find the end zone three times in one game with this defense, they could beat any team in the NFL.
Doesn't matter.
What doesn't matter? If he's mobile or not?
Just wait till December. They're gonna copy the Guardians, and they're going to just come on strong, and they're going to get into the playoffs. It's going to be great.
The greatest comeback in NFL history?
Neither team has an offense. What difference does it make? You got starting pitching and defense. Let's go.
What was the Untouchables? It was the Chicago way? Is that what it was? Is this the Cleveland way? The Cleveland way.
We don't need to score.
We don't need those stinking runs.
Points? No.
Who needs those?
Overrated.
Do you have any ideas on how this offense can get better?
Yeah, they could draft some wide receivers.
Okay, well, that's not happening until next year.
No, that's not in.
No. How about some instant? Can you give me some instant pudding here?
From what they have here? Now, yeah, I'll give you some.
Okay, I'm all ears. And especially with an offensive line that's probably looking at, again, if Jack Conklin can't play, you're looking at three-fifths of the offensive line being able to play that has any kind of experience.
Every offensive lineman I've ever talked to in my life says they like to run block more than pass block. Your offensive line is beat up. It's going through some transitions because DeWand is now out. Who knows about Jack Conklin? Hopefully we can get him back. Hopefully that would be great. Your running game is terrible. Right? You're just not getting it.
I don't know.
Done.
I think the running game's emerging now that Quinshon's back. Okay. I wouldn't say it's terrible.
Emerging. That's a nice way of putting you haven't done it very well so far. But you're right. I think with Quinshon here, it could get better, which is why I say this. Run the football. Run the football. And when it doesn't work, run it some more. And just wear them down. Let's go. You have three running backs who I don't mind getting the football. Quinshon, Dylan Sampson, Jerome Ford. Run. Right now, the Browns are 29th in the NFL at 86.7 yards per game. Rushing. Run the football. The last two games with Quinshon here have been better. So run the ball. And that would allow Joe Flacco a little bit more help. Play action is a good thing for Joe Flacco.
True.
Run the ball. You know, perfect example. Look at Detroit. Detroit has terrific wide receivers. They have a terrific quarterback. They don't have to throw the ball to succeed. What does Detroit do? Here's Jahmyr Gibbs. Wow, here he is again. Wow, here he is one more time. Oh, he's tired. Here's David Montgomery. Boom, 72 yards up the middle. Each one of their running backs scored two touchdowns against Baltimore. Run the ball. Because, Andy, this team is not going to beat you by passing the football. The Browns. The Browns will not win games by passing the ball. If they want to continue to have Joe Flacco lead the league in pass attempts, you're going to have a long, ugly season. I mean, that's just not good for this team. Your wide receivers have not shown that they're able to make good plays on a regular basis. Your quarterback has not shown that he's able to make good plays on a regular basis. So run the ball, take a little heat off of them, and give them a chance with play action, and maybe it pops a little bit. But if Joe Flacco continues to lead the league in pass attempts, this is going to be a long, ugly season.
But here's the problem with the pass attempts that's bothering me is, okay, so you when you start Joe Flacco, you know that he's going to be limited in his running ability, right? We've all talked about that. We all get that. We all understand that. One of the reasons you want Joe Flacco to be your quarterback is his ability to use his strong arm. I mean, every time you hear Joe, even at 40, strong arm, strong arm, strong arm.
Joe can still sling it.
Yeah, he can still sling it. Go back and look at last week's game. You know, from 10 to 19 yards, he was 11 of 19. Okay, pretty modest, right? Pretty not a bad, not horrible.
From 10 to 19 yards?
From 10 to 19 yards, he completed.
You mean the passes you're supposed to complete at about a 75 to 80% clip?
Well, again, you guys got to catch the ball, okay? But here's my bigger point. Like, he only had one deep pass for 20 yards or more. Well, why? Why is again, it goes back to ask yourself the question, why can't they throw the ball downfield? What's going on? Is it the offensive line? Is it the wide receivers? Is it Joe? Why are they having so much difficulty doing? Or is it, I mean, I'll be fair. I mean, is it two good defenses that we've seen back? Two defenses that aren't going to give you the home run ball. Is that maybe what it was? Back-to-back weeks? Because I'm not going to tell you Cincinnati's defense is anywhere near the last two defenses.
I know you're throwing that out as a thought and not a belief.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I think he can.
I think anybody who thinks that is looking for an excuse.
Or is it play calling?
That's an excuse.
What do you want?
The fact is the wide receivers haven't played very well yet, and neither has the quarterback.
Or the beaten up offensive line.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. Just, you can't have Joe Flacco throw the most passes in the NFL. I mean, come on, that's just silly. So run the ball. Quinshon ran it 18 times last game.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Sampson had one. That's 19 carries, and Joe, I think, threw it, I think it was 36 times. Run the ball. If you go three and out, good. Wear them down, man. You hired Quinshon Judkins to come in and be a hammer. So let him get his 22 carries a game. Go ahead. And then give it to Sampson, another 10. Give it to Jerome Ford, 8. I mean, run the ball.
All right, we're standing by for Joe Flacco's press conference. If he starts talking, we're going to cut you off. BP's in Pepper Pike. Hey, BP.
BP, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you both doing?
Good.
Good, good. Great job, as always, covering the Browns. And, you've touched on it. My biggest thought about the offense, we're scoring 15, 16 points a game. And this isn't just this year. It goes back to last year.
Yep. Correct.
My biggest aging offensive line, even going into the season when they were healthy. Now they're missing 40% of their starters. They're going to have to address that in the offseason, either with a big free agent signing or a big draft pick, high draft pick. But the line is, you can see Flacco's just not confident. He doesn't have enough time. That's my biggest problem. I don't think Flacco's been horrible, and of course the receivers have had a lot of drops. I mean, Jerry Jeudy leads the league in drops every year. That's a problem. But I think, you know, having Quinshon Judkins now will help alleviate the problem. But I still think the line is the biggest problem right now. I think if they, you know, maybe if they had brought in a free agent before the season, you know, you just can't count on Jack Conklin anymore. You just can't. And, of course, you can't count on DeJuan Jones going forward. That's my opinion. But, and unfortunately, look at the Lions. Who built the Lions? John Dorsey, our ex-general manager. He has helped a big hand. And look at all that talent. It's kind of reminiscent of the talent he was putting together here with Cleveland. So, no one's really mentioned John Dorsey, but he's had a good hand in help building up the Lions. I think the Browns are going to lose pretty easily this weekend to Detroit. Thanks for the time, guys.
Thank you. Lose handily. I don't know. Does that mean you're looking at another Ravens game? Is that what it feels like? Again, we're waiting for Joe Flacco to hit the podium.
It kind of does, Andy. You know, if they go out and they beat the Detroit Lions, different thought about the entire season. Back-to-back wins against Green Bay and Detroit? Think about that.
I don't know why. The Monday night factor has something to do. I don't know why it gives me a little bit.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.